Yes, we want to honor our mothers. I don't often do a message based on a holiday, only because it's confusing. Because most holidays are not strictly based on Scripture. And so it's very difficult to have a message on a holiday. But this morning, I would like to consider mothers, because God has said a fair amount about them. God has described what they do, and most of it is very, very, very praiseworthy that God talks about with mothers. And then there's a few warnings, and we'll get to some of that. And we will focus for the most part of this message on what the mother's mission is. That is, what the mother should be aiming for. And it informs us about what we should praise our mothers for. Because each one of us has a mother. And whether they're with us today or not, they did a lot for us. Untold nappies have been changed. Bottoms have been wiped. And as much as you don't want to think about it as an adult, your parents took very good care of you when you were helpless. And that is something that is praiseworthy and needs to be remembered. First, let us consider our mothers, and think that it is God who has chosen your mother for you. And for you mothers, think about that. God chose you. It's a bit scary, isn't it? God chose you. God chose mothers for this task. It's quite an interesting thing if you think about the miracle of birth and how astronomically small the chance is that any particular child would ever be born. And yet, God is pleased to give children to us. And they are a gift from God. And God gives them not just to mothers, but also to fathers. I have to mention that we will be looking at some verses and they all say, and this for, you know, listen to your mother and to your father. God had a role for mothers not to be disconnected from the fathers. But today we are focusing on the mothers a bit. God chose mothers out for the task. And I want you to know one other thing. Back in Genesis, when Adam was looking, after he had named all of the animals, and he was looking for a helpmeet, did he find one? No. And so God purpose made one. He purpose made Eve for Adam. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's what Adam called her. Adam was in the naming business. Later he names her Eve because she is the mother of all living. Oh, that must have been Adam's original job, was just naming things. Wouldn't that be good if all we had to do today was just go around naming things? It'd be so much easier, wouldn't it? But no, people had to sin, and so we have to struggle a bit more for our food. But God chose to make Eve exactly as he did. He could have done things differently. We see in nature many different ways that God does things. Some animals that lay eggs in nests. Some that lay them in the ground. Some lay them in trees. That's the birds. Some in the fishes in the sea, and they don't even take care of their young at all. There's so many ways that God could have done things. And yet he chose this way. Mothers have a great responsibility and great joy. I hope that's the testimony of all the mothers here, that they enjoy their children. But there's great responsibilities involved with motherhood. Us men who are fathers, we try. We try to look after our kids. It's called parenting. But when the mothers come home, then there's always something that wasn't done properly. Or, I'm happy with the kids falling down and hurting themselves. They need to learn. But the mother is much more tender and caring. God gave mothers, and it's a good thing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. In fact, God chose Mary to raise his only son. Now, this is a thought experiment for each of you. if you had to choose someone to entrust your only, your beloved child to, who would you choose? Out of all the world, out of all time, who would you choose? Would you choose someone who was ultra rich or ultra famous, maybe a king and queen, to be the parents? Or would you choose someone who was super experienced? Would you choose like God did? He chose Mary. She was neither experienced nor rich, and yet God chose her. This should be an encouragement to all mothers here. You didn't start out knowing what you know now, and probably a good thing, or you wouldn't have done it. But you were able to get the experience, and God has provided for you. God chose Mary for Jesus. Chose her. It is quite fascinating that. And again, consider that God did not talk to Joseph first and say, you know what, Joseph, you would be the perfect father for my only son, and therefore I'm going to choose you and your betrothed. No, he went to Mary first, sent the angel to her, and said, this is going to happen. God chose Mary. The mother's influence was important. If he had chosen poorly, imagine how much damage might have been done. So there is a great responsibility, and God has chosen well, I think, in choosing mothers. I want us now to go to an example in the Old Testament, Isaiah 66 and verse 13. God is telling Jerusalem, the city, to rejoice. And he's telling this message to rejoice, and he uses an example. He says in verse 13, as one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God talks to his people, the people of Israel, and he says, I am going to, after the judgments are over, after you've gone into captivity, after you've come back, I will comfort you. But not just as a father might comfort his little child, but as a mother might comfort her child. It is that picture of care and that picture of being the warm embrace, the big cuddle that a mother gives to their child. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get tired, I get a bit grumpy. And when my 3-year-old and 5-year-old get tired, they get a bit grumpy. And sometimes nothing will satisfy them except mom or dad to give them a big hug. And then they're happy. But until that happens, they're just going to keep crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. And that's the picture here. Israel in judgment, and all they have left is tears. Until God grabs them in a warm embrace, and that comfort that is transferred is so comforting that we see there at the end of verse 13, ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. This is something we can praise our mothers for. Whenever you tripped and bruised your knee, or someone said mean words to you, your mother was there to comfort you. She put her arms around you, and this is also something that mothers don't stop doing it. Let me encourage you, be comforting to the little children. Show that tender heart towards them. It is something that will stick with them for the rest of their lives. Now we need to look at a mission statement for mothers. And to do so, we are going to look in Proverbs. And you may say, that's an interesting place to go. It is. Proverbs tells us a lot about how a young man is to improve his ways and how children are to be and what wise living is. But over and over and over, a particular phrase is mentioned, and it informs us about a mother's aim or goal. Mothers can be too focused on one thing or another and miss this. So that's why we're going to make this mission statement a bit central here. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8. And though it says, my son, daughters also need to listen up here. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Just as a little bit of levity here, that chains about thy neck is a necklace, not being taken away as a slave, okay? So get the right picture here. Ornaments of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck is the law of the mother and the instruction of the father. Mothers, you have a great responsibility given to you by God. He's given you those particular children. He's entrusted them into your care. And he intends for you to give them the law, to be the final word, to teach them. And if we were going to summarize it, we would call this, the mother's mission is to teach her children. We delight in seeing our children grow. We delight in seeing them change and get stronger and adapt. They learn how to speak. If you want to have an example of that, go talk to Thomas. My little one, he will say the same half word 100 times to you, like mother, 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 mother this morning. Or shoo, he'll say that until you're tired of hearing it. They learn and they grow. This is the mission of the mother, that their children grow and become able to do things for themselves, to be able to handle things that are going on around them, to be strong enough to be used of God in the way that God wants to use them. This is something that is an ornament of grace on thy head. So children, listen up. If your mom tells you to do something, obey. Because that obedience will be more beautiful on you than the nicest clothes or the prettiest bow in your hair for you girls. It'll be the most pretty thing you can do, the most blessed thing you can do, an ornament of grace and a chain about thy neck. It'll be good for you if you forsake not the law of thy mother. Obviously, mothers can teach the wrong thing, and we won't get into that, but mothers, take care that the law you lay down is not just things that would please you most, but things that would please God most. Now if we turn to chapter 6, we see another mention of mothers in Proverbs. And a similar refrain, My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. We have here a mother's law again being mentioned. And I don't know about you, it is interesting that in Proverbs here it's describing the mother's law instead of her instruction or her leading or her guiding, although we will get to some of that later, but it focuses on the law of the mother because, I don't know about you, but when the mom says stop, it should be firm. And the kids should obey regardless of how quiet it is. Once I was in a church that had a large deaf ministry. And there was, the deaf would all be signing, and it was fun to sing the hymns with them and to try and learn the signs, and I was horrible at it. But they all thought it was fun that I would try, and we would enjoy that, and I would try and have conversations with them. But I was quite impressed one day when a mother saw her child start to run across, and she was deaf. She couldn't hear a word, but she saw him starting to do something she didn't want, and she did this. And that was it. It was the quietest little snap. It wasn't a loud, snap. It was the quietest little snap, and then a firm, and this meant no, apparently. Anyways, and that was it. The kid stopped, and he had that look of, I'm in trouble. You've all had that feeling before when you were in trouble and you knew it. Oh, he knew it. He knew he was in trouble, and he stopped, and he immediately obeyed. And it was that quietness of it that kind of shocked me, because I'm used to, a kid starting to do something, and someone, the mom or the dad, they pipe up, and they're like, hey, stop that. And this was quiet. It was just, and the kids all obeyed. They're all dead silent. The control and the quietness of it emphasized the obedience. And it truly was a praise to them that they had worked at training their children to obey at such a quiet and small motion. It wasn't big, it wasn't loud, but it was understood and it was obeyed. The law of the mother was firm. It didn't move. This will keep us. As an adult, I think back sometimes on the things my mom has told me, and it echoes in my mind and helps to keep me on the straight and narrow way. Instruction or teaching that she has given that goes over and over in my head. I remember sitting with her and singing songs, I don't know how many times. I think I was 5 years old. We were singing Amazing Grace and then Blessed Assurance and one hymn after the other, and we would sing together. And in case you ever wanted to know, I can sing the alto part to every single hymn in the hymn book because my mom sang alto. So I learned the alto part, and it still rings in my ears. I can still hear my mom singing all of those great hymns, and the words stick. They've stuck in my heart because I love my mom, and I want to please her. So, adults, what did your mom teach you? What did she try to teach you that you haven't quite got yet? What is that thing that she did that would encourage you in your walk with God? Make that a law for you. Make it to be something that's enforceable by the police, if you will. Something that's strong in your own mind. And that will be good for you. It will keep you. It will talk with you. It will light your way. If we now jump to chapter 23 of Proverbs, we're not doing an exhaustive study of all things about mothers today, but if we go to Proverbs chapter 23, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begotteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Do you want your mom to rejoice? Here we have a prescription. And again, as I started out, each one of us has a mother, whether they're here or not at this time. We all should want them to rejoice. We should want their heart to be glad. They will only rejoice if we hold fast to the truth. Don't sell the truth for anything. Little white lies are not worth it. There is no lie that's worth selling the truth. Hold on to wisdom. Hold on to instruction and understanding. These are the things that we must hold fast to that obviously our mother and our father must have told us. That verse 22, though, does bring it to a clear head. It says that we are not to despise our mother or our father when they are old. How often this happens? Children grow up and they obey while they are smaller and while they are at the home. But then as they get older, they say, I'm my own person and I can do things I want to do. And they then rebel. They go their own way. Or they say, you're just an old man or you're just an old woman. You don't know what's going on. You don't understand the new things that are happening. You don't know how to work your phone or whatever. And they don't respect their father and their mother. And they leave the truth that their father and mother taught them and leave it behind them. Do not despise your father or your mother. Instead, cause them joy. That's what we should be aiming for. We will have one more passage in Proverbs, but before we get there, let's go to Titus chapter 2. This is not just an Old Testament teaching. Titus chapter 2. And we have a description for each person in the church. And one day we will spend a fair amount of time in this passage. And it talks about the old men. And then we get to verse 3. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The things that a mother needs to know and needs to be taught how to love their children and love their husband. This is not something that is easy or something that just comes naturally. It is something that must be taught. And it fits right in with the main message of a mother. A mother is to train up their children. They're to be the law unto their children. Well, they can only teach wisdom. They can only teach how to love if they have learned those things. And so for those of you who are mothers, I challenge you. Where do you line up on this? Is there anything you need to find an older woman to explain to you how to do? Is there anything where you feel you might be falling behind? Notice the evil if you fail. At the end of verse 5, it says, the word of God be not blasphemed. Mothers and young women and old women that are in mind in this verse, if you fail, the word of God will be blasphemed. People will laugh at and mock God's word because it is of no effect in your life. Therefore, it's of no effect to them. It is something to be avoided unless you obey these things that are learned. I do want, before we move off this, I do want to just say in verse 6, there's a little word there, likewise. So everything that was said to the young women also applies to young men, plus some more. Okay, so this isn't piling on the women and ignoring the men, but we're not going to deal with that today. Just notice that word likewise in there. If we go now back to Proverbs chapter 19, and we'll try not to keep you too long because I don't know about you, but I can smell that food and it smells good. Proverbs chapter 19. (Clears throat) And we're actually going to see what happens when someone does not honor or respect their mother. In verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother, a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. In other words, child, listen to your mother, and if someone's telling you not to listen to your mother, you need to close your ears to that person and go back to listening to your mother. That's what it's saying here. It's a command for those who have mothers to listen to them. And then if we go now to Proverbs chapter 31, you knew we were getting there. Proverbs 31. There's much in this chapter. And there is a great anthem about praise for a godly woman in this chapter. But I really want us to focus on that first verse. Proverbs 31, verse 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And I just want us to stop there and say, look, what did the king learn? He learned what his mother taught him. Did he learn from all of the people who could have taught him? There were probably wise men and instructors that were brought in to teach him. I know that at different times David had priests who came to teach his sons, that kind of thing. Like, surely there was opportunity for King Lemuel to learn from others. But what is it that he is proclaiming? What is it that is the words that are burning on his lips, the prophecy that he needs to get out? Well, it's what his mom taught him. That is what he is bringing. And so I say to you, mothers, today, teach your children. And in teaching them, you are preparing the next generation of kings, queens, maybe not. You're teaching those who will become leaders in the next generation if you teach them well. If they know how to obey and they know how to speak truth, they will go far. They will not be a reproach. They will be a blessing. Everyone will look to them and say, wow, your mom did a good job. And that's, I think, what each mother wants. They want to let their worth show through those that they are able to train up after them. And so we say with the writer of Proverbs here in verse 28, the children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. To you I offer this honor, but not undue praise. You have taught well, continue teaching your children well. And children, obey your parents. This is the message for this morning, and I hope it has been an encouragement to you. And I do hope that that little token of our appreciation shows how much worth you are. Because I cannot teach each child here little things like how to walk and how to speak and how to bear with the truth and not tell lies. That's something that only the mother and the father can do. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and gracious God and that you have chosen both the parents and the children. You have not put us haphazardly. You have not made a mistake. And though there may be challenges, you are one who can provide all of the wisdom, guidance, and strength that is necessary. And Lord, we do thank you for the mothers here in this congregation, those who have dedicated their lives to improving, growing, strengthening, teaching their children. Father, we pray that you would continue to give them that tender heart that marks a mother. And Father, we ask that you would give them the wisdom to teach all the law, that their law would be righteous and just before you, and that the generation that comes would be able to stand up and praise them as they have done exceedingly well. And Father, we ask that you would give us your blessing during this time of fellowship to follow. May our words be seasoned with salt, and may we be filled with your love. Amen.